Welcome to another life-transforming message by Pastor Bolaji Idowu, lead pastor of Harvesters International Christian Center. Whether you're tuning in for the first time or you're part of our global faith family, get ready for a life-changing encounter with God. At Harvesters, we believe in the power of faith, prayer, and the Word of God to bring breakthroughs, healing, and transformation. Today's message is packed with revelational and practical wisdom and an anointing that will ignite your faith and push you into the next level of your destiny. Open your heart, grab your notepad, and get ready to receive from God.
Will you turn your Bibles to John chapter 11, verse 32? And this morning, I want to talk to you about gratitude, and we're going to talk about something very powerful: overcoming unhappiness, stress, and worry through gratitude. Please, media, take note of the title: overcoming unhappiness, worry, and stress through gratitude. John chapter 11, verse 32 to 42. And I'm going to read from Psalm 67, verse 5 to 7. Hallelujah. The Bible says, "And when Mary was come down where Jesus was and saw him," at this point, and let me tell you something, the premise of teaching this message on gratitude is this: it's easy to be grateful when things are going well. That's what I'm saying. It's easy to be grateful when things are going well. If you got married, it's easy to be grateful. If your child graduated from school, it's easy to be grateful. If you got a banking license, it's easy to be grateful. It's always easy to be grateful when things, great things are happening. The most difficult time, and where it is essential to be grateful, is when things are happening and they are not things you particularly prayed about. So in this narrative, it's a very powerful narrative, because here, Jesus had the family that was close to him. The family had three siblings: Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And the Bible says that Lazarus was sick and they asked Jesus to come. For some reason, Jesus did not go when Lazarus was killed. Jesus Christ told the disciples, he said, "This sickness is not unto death." And that is very instructive. Sometimes you are going through something. I'm glad to announce to you, this breakup is not unto death. This financial loss is not unto death. Meaning this, that although I'm going through a dark season, it's not going to terminate in a permanent loss. That the power of God is going to come through in such a way that will have a miracle. So Jesus Christ looked at them and said, "I know Lazarus is sick right now, but this sickness is not unto death." Some of you have gone through a terrible last month. You have gone through a terrible year. You have gone through a terrible marriage. You have gone through a terrible project. And you're wondering, this sickness is not unto death. That's what I'm going to. He says, then eventually Jesus Christ went there. And this is an amazing thing. Although Jesus Christ said, "This sickness is not unto death," Lazarus actually died. But the nature of God's word, even though he died, it must come back as a full testimony. The Bible says, and when Mary was come from where she was, she saw him and she fell down at his feet, saying unto them, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died." Mary was saying that, "Lord, you came, but you came too late." What she didn't realize was that when it comes to God, God always comes on time. You know, sometimes you must know that with God, God has the power to reverse time, so much so that he will do something as if you never lost time. Glory to God. All the time, people, listen to me. If you were Joseph's friend, you would have thought Joseph was cursed. You would have not understood that it was in the divine timing of God that Joseph would get to the palace. As soon as Joseph got to the palace, all what seemed like wasted years, what happened to them? They were collapsed into a day. Guess what happened? His brothers that did not go through trials, when they saw Joseph had so much change, they could not recognize him. But when he saw his brothers, they were still who they were. He could clearly see that these were my brothers. He says, and when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and this was emotional, the Bible says, and the Jews also weeping. So the Bible says Mary was crying, Martha was crying. The Bible says, and the Jews were also weeping. Jesus groaned in the spirit. So maybe you are in a state that's making you cry. He groaned in the spirit and he was troubled. Verse 34. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Come and see, Lord." Verse 35. And Jesus wept. And I want to tell you something. You have an high priest that can be touched with the feelings of your infirmity. When you go to God in prayer, you need to go with a consciousness that God can feel what I'm going through. You know, sometimes the devil, see, sometimes, and let me tell you this quickly. Thank you, Lord. How does Satan make people feel hopeless in life? One of the key things Satan does to make them feel hopeless is to give them this thought that nobody has gone through what I'm going through and nobody understands me. So when you think that way, that's the first step. Then number two, the second thing it does is that it makes you feel as if your problem is pervasive. Pervasive means that I don't just have a marital problem, I have a financial problem. So you hear people say that everything has gone wrong in my life. It's not possible. It's not possible that, in fact, the fact that you can talk shows everything has not gone wrong because your health is okay. But when Satan wants to destroy people, he puts that thought in their mind that nothing is working. And the reason why is that once you accept that thought, what do? You begin to break down. How do you come against that feeling that everything is not working and you feel hopeless? How do you deal when you have that feeling everything is hopeless? You go into your life and look at what is working and begin to count them and say, well, I understand that that is not working, but this is working, this is working, this is working, and this will also work. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you will see a lady that was sinking to depression, a young lady, and you say, why are you sinking to shit? Nothing's working in my life. And you say, what is not working? He said, at my age, at 32, I'm not married. And you'd be like, wow, is that what is not working? And you'd be like, excuse me, you have a job, you have good health, you are attractive. The only thing that is yet not married, not as if marriage is not a big deal, but why are you saying nothing is working because of marriage? You'll see a couple that have some challenges in their marriage, and they say, the whole thing, I'm just tired of everything. And you're like, excuse me, sir, you are just tired, but you have three healthy children. None of them is autistic. None of them have Down syndrome. I'm not talking about people that have those kind of sicknesses or challenges. That's what I'm talking about. You are not in marriage and you are barren. Some people are in marriage and are barren. What should they do? Your own is the fact that there's a small financial challenge and the two of you cannot get behind it. I'm saying to you that every time you feel that everything is not working and you feel hopeless, look carefully. There are things that are working that you are looked away from. Glory to God. The Bible says, and Jesus Christ wept, and he said, and the Jews said, behold how he loved him. Verse 37. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused even this man should have not died? So in their mind, you know, and that's something very powerful. In our mind, there's a limit that if God doesn't step in now, it's over. In their mind, God could have stopped him from dying. But now that he's dead, it's over. Just imagine how they are thinking. He says, and Jesus therefore again groaning himself came to the grave. He said, is it not possible? And Jesus again groaning in himself came to the grave. And it was a cave, and a stone was laid upon him. Verse 39. The Bible says, and Jesus Christ said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to the Lord, by this time he's thinking, thinking that this is a gone situation, for he has been dead for 4 days. Verse 40. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto you, if thou wouldest believe, thou wilt see the glory of God. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, and this is the most confusing part in my brain. Number one, everything was wrong. Jesus Christ has said, this sickness, watch this now. Jesus Christ himself said, this sickness will not lead to death, and Lazarus died. I thought he will go to the Father and say, Father, why did you mess me up? I thought that Jesus Christ said, he said, Lazarus will not, he said, but in the midst of it getting worse, I know that you lost the money, despite the fact that there was a prophetic word that you will have profits. I know that you didn't get married, despite the fact there was a prophetic word that you will get married. Jesus Christ did not come and say, Father, why did you mess me up? It says, as they rolled away the stone, and we have to learn from Jesus. The Bible says, the first thing Jesus said unto the Father was, Father, I thank you because you heard me. He didn't even say, I'm trying to remind you of what you said. He didn't even say, I'm trying to pray again. He said, the prayer I prayed then and what you said still holds. He said, Father, I thank you for you hurt me. You know what it means? When you go through a terrible time in your marriage and you say, Father, I thank you because even though my husband has left us for 3 months right now, you promised me by word of prophecy that our marriage will be strong and will endure forever. You know, you are not even saying, God, do something. You are depending on what God has said. He said, Father, I thank you that you hurt me. Jesus did not say, hey, I'm coming back to pray again. He said, I thank you, you hurt me. Look at this kind of situation. Everybody was crying. There was a sense of disappointment. There was a sense of loss. There was a sense of grief. And the response of Jesus was that you hurt me. You heard the word and said you will get pregnant. The time of the month came and you thought you were pregnant. You missed your period last month and you saw your period this month. And as you saw your period, you say, oh God. You say, oh God. Don't complete the statement and say, oh God. Just say, oh God, I thank you, you hurt me. You're expecting that this place you applied for a job, they will call you back and say, congratulations, you've been employed. You get an email and say, we regret to let you know. Once you say regret to you, don't say, God, why are you embarrassing me? Say, Father, I thank you because you hurt me. Glory to God. So as we talk about this message about overcoming unhappiness, worry, and stress through gratitude, one of the things we cannot shy away from that in our world today, a lot of people are unhappy. They are unhappy about maybe their children. They are unhappy maybe about their grandchildren. They are unhappy maybe about their health. They are unhappy maybe about their finances. There's something that makes them unhappy. And the question is that, how will I overcome this by gratitude? The first thing is this. Gratitude shifts my perspective from negative to positive. Everything you give attention to grows. Everything you give attention to grows. So watch this now. Every time something is going wrong and you give attention to it, that thing which is going on begins to grow. What gratitude does is that it moves your attention from negative to what? Positive. Look at Jesus Christ. Jesus did not say Lazarus wasn't dead. He said, Father, I thank you. See, gratitude. He said, Father, I thank you because you hurt me. He focused on what God had done, not what has not been done. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. I said, glory to God. I said, glory to God. You must know something. Stress drains your energy. You must know that stress drains your energy. Stress depletes you completely. What is stress like? Let me tell you what stress is like. You know, and this is how you overcome stress. Stress is like having a phone on with multiple apps running behind the scene. What will happen when you check the battery? Just over time, you'll notice that the battery's energy has been drained out. Yes or no? When you worry a lot and there's a lot of stress in your life, you will find out that you are drained. You will not go to, you will be on your desk. You have not done anything significant and you are tired. Why are you tired? You are tired because a lot of thoughts of worry has occupied your mind. And you wonder, why do I feel weak? Why do I feel unmotivated? The reason why you feel unmotivated, the reason why you feel weak is because you've allowed these thoughts to run through you and drain you. So how do you change your state when you feel unhappy? How do you change? Someone says, what do you do exactly? Or how do you change your state of unhappiness? I'm unhappy, I've gone through a divorce. I'm unhappy, I've lost my job. I'm unhappy that the letters that of employment I was expecting has turned to rejection. The way you deal with unhappiness is to focus on what is working and not what is not working. When Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus, what was not working was Lazarus was dead. What was working was that God answered prayers. What did Jesus Christ say? He didn't even look towards Lazarus that was dead. He focused his attention in heaven. He said, Father, I thank you because you heard me. Every time you're feeling unhappy and you want to come out of it, this is what you do. you will turn your attention into what is working. You look at yourself, and let me give you a practical way. You look at yourself and say, Father, firstly, I thank you that I'm alive. The reason why is that the only reason why I have a problem is because I'm alive. Those at Aton Cemetery, those at Ebony Cemetery don't have problems because they are dead. Problem is a function of living. Is that not true? The second thing is that I have good health. Are you hearing me? I have good health. The reason why is that the only reason why you think you have financial problem, you have marital problem, is because you have good health. When health becomes your problem, there's no other problem again. So you focus on what is working. The third thing you must also realize is this. The problem you have today is because of an answered prayer. Have you noticed that? Glory to God. You say, I don't have a car to take me to work. I'm always Ubering up and down. Is it not because you have job? Those that don't have job, are they thinking that way? Some of you don't realize that what you call problem today is because what? You have answered prayer. You say, look at my children. Look at my children. They're not doing well in school. Is it not because you married that you had children? Those that are not married, did they have children? You say, see, my husband is behaving. Is it not because you even married? Some people are praying, just give me a man. Let him misbehave. I don't mind. As far as I can change my son's name. So how do you deal with unhappiness? By choosing to focus. By putting your attention on what is working. You will go into your closet and begin to count. Father, this is working. That is working. This is working. Let me end up by saying this. Jesus wanted to feed 5,000 people. One person said, we have 5 loaves. The 5 loaves was the boy's lunch. And Jesus Christ said, bring the loaves. And when he took the loaves, I thought he would have said, Lord, why are you embarrassing me? We want to feed 5,000 people. You sent a boy's lunch. But Jesus had learned the principle. If I focus on the problem, I will be unhappy. If I choose to focus on what is working, I will be happy. What did he do? He took the bread and he complained. Yes or no? No, sir. He took the bread and the Bible says he gave thanks. There's something powerful about thanking God for what is available that taps into other opportunities that releases what you're praying for. Glory to God. This morning is our Thanksgiving service. And let me tell you something. There are 2 categories of people here. There are people that will say, let them do whatever they. There's nothing to thank God for. And if you say that, in one sense you are right. But in another sense you are not right. As long as you are alive, there's something to thank God for. Are you hearing me? That's the first thing. The second category of people are people that say, God has tried for me. I want to thank God. But this is what I want to say to you. This is what I want to say to you. Thanksgiving changes you as a person more than any other thing. Because what thanksgiving will do, it will shift your attention from the negative to the positive. And guess what? Once your attention is shifted, the hand of God in your life will multiply. How do you become grateful? And let someone will read to you. This is very powerful here. It is not happiness that makes us grateful. It is gratitude that makes us happy. Did you get that? It is not happiness that makes us grateful. It is gratitude that makes us happy. And this is the key to happiness. Knowing that the moment I choose to be grateful, I will eventually become happy. But the moment I'm waiting to be happy, I will never be grateful. Praise God. How do you become happy? By choosing to be what? Grateful. Praise God. Can we do a test this morning? Everybody pick a neighbor. Pick one neighbor. Look towards your neighbor. One, just not two, one neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Ask him, tell me one thing you are grateful for. Give that neighbor 30 seconds. Let that neighbor, hold on, don't talk. You have to talk one at a time. Go ahead. Talk one at a time. Tell me one thing you are grateful for. Amen. Question. How many of you noticed as 2 of you were talking, you were both smiling? If that happened, wave your hands.
Look at it. Look at everybody. Wave your hands if that happened.
What was making you smile? As you chose to be grateful, your happiness came out naturally.
Did you see what just happened? I didn't give you any money. I didn't do anything. I didn't buy you food. You were the one that made yourself happy
because you chose to reflect and be grateful. Every time you find out you are down and you don't know what to do to come out of this feeling of depression, this is how you come out. You begin to become grateful for what has happened in the past. The reason why is that the gratitude leads to happiness. Happiness does not create what? Gratitude. If you want to be happy, then you must learn to be grateful. Glory to God.
Can we pray this morning? So the first thing you're going to do to be grateful is to reflect. Is what? Reflect. The second thing you're going to be grateful is that you testify. Listen to me. Many of you are so modern. You know, there's a Gen Z culture that says, you know, I don't like to go on the stage and talk about what Lord has done. You are just ungrateful. Because it was on this altar they prayed for you. It's on the altar we testify that it was answered. Are you hearing me? You know, someone says that, you know, I'm a private person. But you are a private person that wants public testimonies. If you want public testimony, you must be public about what your God is doing also. So you must testify. How do you testify? Number one, testify to your friends. Number two, testify in church. Number three, testify publicly on social media. You know why it's important to testify publicly? A lot of your friends don't believe that God does things. Yes or no? But when they see you, they know you, banker. In Kechi, they know you. They know your case. When you know, the beautiful about testimony is that when it's your testimony that your friends know, when you start crying. Because they can tell that God came through for you. During the week, a guy came to my office, someone brought to my office to see me. And this guy said, can I hug you? And when people say things like that, there's always a story. He says, I'm not a perfect person. I'm not a church person. No. He said, but one morning I was going to work. I joined Next Level Prayer. He said, few months before that time, I went to swim and water entered my ear. Normally when you swim 24 hours, the water is out. It's not a big deal. He said, but months have gone. The water was still in my ear. I stopped hearing from the ear. I was feeling pains. I've been thinking, oh my God, hope I'm not going deaf. Let me go and see an ENT because this is months, you know, that have gone bad. He said, I turned on NLP. I was just praying. I mean, like, you know, something like that. He said, you mention my case. I'll say, hey? He said, not just mention my case. You say, I'm healed. He said, the water in my head had a discharge. From that day till now, my hair is healed. He said, Pastor, this is the first time that something like that will ever happen. He said, that's why I joined the prayer. Because I always think it's an NG. But when it happened to me, I knew that God was at work. Praise the Lord. That's the power. And let me tell you, everyone that has an outstanding testimony of last year, this year, upper year, you are going to share. You'll do a video. You'll see the pastor. You'll tell your friends, put your status, and say, the Lord did this for me, and give glory to God. So how do you become grateful? Number one, by reflecting. Number two, by testifying. Number three, in your giving. In what? Your giving. And I will explain this to you. You can't be a businessman and God has given you 100 million this year. Or has given you 20 million this year. And you think that it's too big to give me 1 million naira back in Thanksgiving. No, sir. David said to Aaron. David was going to offer an offering. He said, I will offer to God what cost me something. Let me give an example. If you help someone get a contract of 100 million. The person comes and give you 200K. Will you say thank you? Thank you for not answering. Because you know you will not say thank you. The reason why is that the thanksgiving is not commensurate to what God has done. Some of you will spend 20 million for a wedding. You will put 10,000 as offering. You are a prodigal child. You spend 20 million to organize wedding for people to come and eat. Your wedding thanksgiving, you gave 2K. Let me tell you something. The people that eat will sustain your wedding for you. Because if it's God that will sustain it, he's watching what you're doing. Some of you, the truth is that you have not been taught that. And so that part of our thanksgiving is in our giving. The giving is not something you plan in church and say, let's give now. No, you have to think about it. You will reflect and say, see what the Lord has done. This year I got a promotion. Let me thank him for that. This year I had the baby. Let me thank him for that. And let me say something to you. The Bible says that Jesus Christ healed 10 people. One person came back and gave thanks. When he came back, Jesus Christ said, where are the remaining nine? Can I say something to you? I hope you know that it was only the one that came back that heard that statement. The ones that did not give thanks did not hear that statement. When you don't give thanks, you don't hear what God said about your miracle. What he's saying is that, where are the many nine? And the one that came to give thanks, God gave him a complete testimony. Thanksgiving brings about completion of what the Lord has started. Do you hear what I said? It brings about completion of what the Lord has started. So we give him thanks with our giving. That's why in Israel, they will come with specific Thanksgiving offering. And the last thing of Thanksgiving, we sing, we shout, and we dance in his presence, thanking him for what he has done. Shall we pray?
Shall we pray?
If this message blessed you, don't keep it to yourself. Share with a friend and let's spread the light of Christ together. To stay connected with Pastor Bolaji and receive more life-changing teachings, be sure to follow on social media, subscribe to our YouTube channel at Avistus TV, and join us for our powerful Next Level prayer sessions every weekday morning. Until next time, stay in faith, keep praying, and remember, God is doing something amazing in your life. God bless you.